Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
In theory, AI should be able to do anything you tell it, including write good copy for you. In practice, AI does what you give it instructions to do. And finding the instructions to give it that will make it write in compelling, simple conversational English, looking for those instructions has been like the search for the Holy Grail, at least for me, until now. 3 weeks ago, we had our returning champion on for the first time, Jason Parker. Nathan and I got so excited, we both signed up for his AI copywriting class. Not cheap, but worth every penny. I've been cranking out so much good writing since then, it makes my head spin. And I'm still just getting my bearings. What Jason has done that I haven't found anyone else able to do to the same degree, to near the same degree of proficiency, is give the AI prompts that precisely instruct the AI to write copy that sounds like a human talking. Nathan and I desperately wanted to have Jason back to talk about this, and Jason agreed to share his five favorite prompts today. Well, not exactly prompts, a tad wee bit more than that, what he calls prompt chunks. We'll be sharing those today with you later, no strings. But first, we've got a lot of other things to talk about, too. And now for something completely different. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you hear what you use on this podcast, for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Jason, welcome, and thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great being on last time. And it seems like a lot longer than 3 weeks ago, at least in AI time, that we started this journey together. And you kind of went through the same progression I did. And that is, at first, I was trashing AI copy because everything I saw was trash. I got to the point where I had to, like, I had to adapt. I had to hire people, like a lot of people, or unlock, let's say unlock because it's AI, unlock the power of AI. And so you just, it seems like you went through that same progression where you didn't believe it worked. Then you believed it worked. You probably didn't believe it would work for you. You finally believed it'll work for you, and now you're absolutely down this long rabbit hole, and you're obsessed, David. I can tell. Just like I
am. Yeah. So I do a few social media posts every day now, and these are really mini sales letters. I mean, they're like, micro mini course sales letters, but they do make a difference in my daily book sales. And I'm doing them because of a bot that you wrote for me using some of the same prompt chunks we're going to talk about today. I never thought I could do it. This morning, as I'm getting ready for the podcast, I thought, how about something about, it's summertime, so how about something about the beach and a swimsuit and telling stories about it and selling them better than just listing features and benefits. And in 20 minutes, I got a complete post written and edited. And a little later this morning, I'll put it up on LinkedIn and Twitter. I never would have believed that was possible. And every time I saw something, I had friends that had shown me stuff, and I'd say, give me a break. And they say, well, this is better than most people can do on their own. I'm sorry, that's not the standard. Got to work, it's got to be more than better than most people can do on their own. So, I don't know. You tell me. You want to talk about a few other things, or you want to dive right into the chunks? Because we got some.
We can. It's just interesting. Interesting progression. Just seeing where you went to where you've gone. Because I did the same thing. It's the same progression. I just thought that was interesting. Because you don't believe until you see it.
Yeah, you don't believe until you see it. And it's also interesting that you were in a hole. Your back was up against the wall. You were you know, like we always put in the at the end of some VSLs, you were at a crossroads. You really were. You were going to have to either scale up or find a way to speed up. And the AI, I mean, I saw, so last week in class, you wrote something that, you know, after we were talking a little bit about a story email. And, you know, I said, well, gosh, there are a lot of different ways you can use stories and emails. I'm even going to be writing a book about all the different ways and all the different, but you just did sort of this generic thing. I thought, okay. And next day, you say you were on the phone with a client for 2 hours. You put about 5 or 6 sentences into the AI, and it spat out this letter, which you polished. And I looked at it, and it was really good copy. And I'm sure it's going to perform for the guy and get him a lot of clients for the doctor. So do you want to talk at all about your thinking process about using AI, and then maybe we can jump into the chunks?
Sure. My thought process is that I don't like to think. I want to have thoughts left. I want to have brain power left at the end of the day. That's why I like it. Because I was already a very fast copywriter before I started AI. And AI just turned me into a speed demon. But I didn't know anybody who wrote copy faster than me before AI. I'm sure there's people that who did. But honestly, I took your class, Fast Effective Copy, a long time ago. That really helped. Just to be able to think fast. And like, if I had to crank something out, I could crank it out in a structure and it'd be done. But with AI, yeah, I mean, it's all about speed and it's about accuracy too. Cause like when you know how to talk to it, it's accurate. And I feel like AI writes better than I do sometimes, or it will come up with something that would take me a long time to come up with. Like it'll come up with a great metaphor because we programmed in something that told it to be very original with metaphors or metaphorical writing in general. Because I've always written in a metaphorical kind of way, and that's the way I describe it. Whether that's a verb, it's usually very visual. My phrasing's very visual. And it probably goes back to like your teachings, David, and Eugene Schwartz, how every sentence should have a visual or an image with it. I took that maybe a little too more literally than a lot of people did. And I feel like AI, it will come up sometimes with a turn of phrase that would have taken me forever to come up with. And it'll be something very visual. It'll be something very unique, not trite. Now, a lot of people get trite results because they don't know how to granularly instruct the AI to give them something that is fresh and new and unique. So that's one of the things. Like, if a lot of people kind of complain about certain phrasing and words inside AI that, you know, the AI spits out, and you can ban those words. And I don't think I added that as a, you know, chunk today, but we've gotten to the point where it usually bans the words you tell it to ban if you're building it in a bot, you know, like the way we do. Because the bots allow you to consistently crank out something in a more consistent way. I mean, that's, I just said the same word twice, but before these bots came along, we were doing GPT and all this, and it sometimes you could get it to write something good. It was usually pretty inconsistent, but with the bots, it's very consistent.
I'm going to frame this for the listeners too. I've been through a lot of different copywriting AI courses from different gurus out there, and they all approach it from a very mechanical. They like to focus on the templates. They like to focus on the mechanics of it. I think what most impressed me once I dived in and started looking at your approach is you treat it like a copy cub. You're teaching it the rules. You're teaching it. So your approach is completely revolutionary to everything else that everybody else is doing out there right now. And that was why when you sent us over the sales letter for it, I had no hesitation. I was like, I'm buying.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I just want to emphasize that as we go through these prompts, this is an approach of if you were sitting down with a copy cub or if you were a copy chief and you were training somebody, you approach it very, very much like you would a human. So that was kind of the big difference that in your approach that I was really impressed by.
Yeah. Oh, you can do it both ways. That's the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would also like to say I've seen you create stuff. You've been kind enough to make a few little videos. I mean, they're only 2 or 3 minute videos, but one of the things you do is after the initial output, you give it feedback and you say, I want more of this. I want you not to do this. Just like if you're working with a copy cub, just like Nathan said, the AI thinks it's human, even if it isn't, doesn't it? It seems to.
I hope not. No, I'm just kidding. Who's that UCLA basketball coach? John Wooden? So when he taught people, he taught them incrementally. Like he would sit there really and practice. And I think in his books, he said he would literally just sit there and just kind of tweak people's performance as, over time. Just like, you know, turn your hand that way, turn your hand this way. And that's what I think works when you're teaching somebody something, but it also works when you're teaching AI something. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's what most people don't get. They think it's an inert machine, and it's whether or not it's living or conscious is, we can leave that to the philosophers, but it is evolving. It does change, and it does respond to feedback.
Yeah. So the chunks are about, they go, you know, getting into the five chunks we're talking about that everybody's going to get from this call. It's a whole theory or a philosophy I came up with to be able to build bots, AI bots, real fast. So you can start by chunking together prompt chunks into a prompt that becomes an AI bot. And then once you're tweaking it the way we're talking about, those can also be prompt chunks you use to tweak it. So they're used at the foundation of it, and they're also compiled when you're just tweaking it and giving it those like little things they need to do differently. And yeah, it's just like you said, it's almost like it's like teaching a human. I mean, that was my whole approach from the beginning. And we have done framework type stuff, you know, where it's just fill in the blank. Like I did that yesterday, but you know, I prefer the organic approach because it is like having a copy cup who writes a million miles an hour. So
yeah, cool. All right. Well, let's talk about your prompt chunks and maybe one at a time, and you can explain it a little bit and you know, the implications of it. Sure. And the output that comes from it and all that.
Yeah. So one of them is using sensory verbs. That's what I call them. And this goes back to what I was talking about writing metaphorically. And what I want the chunk to do is to turn every time it writes a verb, or often at least, pick something that kind of appeals to the senses, a verb that appeals to the senses. So in this example we have, it says before and after, he touched the fabric, after is he caressed the fabric, because touching could be, it's left up to an interpretation what that visual actually is. You could be touching it, but if you're caressing it, you're caressing it. That's my whole point with trying to transform verbs. If you look at the parts of speech, really you're really dealing with communicating what you want in terms of like nouns and verbs, adjectives and adverbs. Those are the main things you're really communicating. But if you can tell it to take every verb and make it a certain way, that wins a lot of the battle, if you know what I'm saying, because there's only a certain amount of parts of speech. And literally you're saying, it's not a vague instruction. You know, it's like a very specific instruction about, it's going to solve 10% of your sentences, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'm gonna jump in and ask for a little bit of clarification real quick. Would you mind reading through exactly how you word this? Because you mentioned the two examples. You actually include the examples. You say, hey, this is the rule. And then you give a before and after example. Could you do that for the listeners real quick?
Yeah, sure. So the way we do these organic kind of bots that we're talking about, I really think, Nathan, you nailed it. Like, you think of that as a copy cub. I haven't thought about that before, but that's exactly what we're building, like AI copy cubs, which is kind of interesting. But the way I look at it is, this type of bot is, it's rule plus examples. So you give the rule, you give the example. And what I did at first, like when I wasn't chunking everything together like this, I would give lots of rules and then I would give lots of examples. And sometimes I still will build bots like that, but I have something now that builds the prompt chunks for me, and I have it built at the same time. So it's like, here's a rule, here's an example, here's a rule, here's an example. And that's kind of the whole philosophy behind chunking all this. You're chunking those in twos, you know, you're chunking those in rule plus example as well. So it's rule plus example chunks, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So like the first one is use sensory verbs, rule, pick verbs that appeal to the senses. Example, before, he touched the fabric. After, he caressed the fabric. And, you know, in terms of Gene Schwartz and the Brilliance Breakthrough, I mean, you're creating, that's a picture word, you're creating an image in the person's mind. In terms of a metaphor, he probably didn't really caress the fabric. He probably touched the fabric in a way that looked like he was caressing it. But the conversational shorthand is he caressed the fabric. And, you know, so you've packed a lot of information and direction into very few words, or actually you probably had the prompt chunk writer bot do that. But
yeah,
it what the AI does is it'll generalize it. It's not just about touching and fabric and caressing. It's about nouns and verbs.
Well, now it's realizing when I give it the rule, there's room left open to interpretation on exactly what I mean. That's why the examples are key for dialing it in, if that makes sense. Because like a rule is something. Yeah. So, I mean, like that's the whole problem that people have with AI is that, first of all, they're very vague with their instructions. But once you have a rule and example, it's very clear what you want it to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say as a copywriting coach and mentor and teacher and seminar giver, one thing I found is people are not very good at following instructions and not very good at giving them, even if they think they are. There's a level of precision most people miss. Obviously, you're not missing it, and that's awesome. You want to go to prompt chunk number two?
Sure. This is one we came up with the other day, actually, in last class, which is use almost to temper and soften claims. So it was the AI bot we were building, I think it was just a general email writing bot. And some of the claims were like over the top. And we were thinking, how do we get AI to soften those claims or temper them? And it's usually by adding something like almost before the word, like almost kind of makes it more believable. So this chunk is literally telling it to add almost to temper and soften claims to avoid overpromising benefits. So before, here's a before and after example. The before is every shot feels effortless. That feels over the top. After is every shot feels almost effortless. So it adds almost. And that's a very precise thing that you can get to do. And that's the whole point. Like when people are writing, they're trying to get AI to work for them, they're being very vague about what they want. But when we tell it to only sprinkle in almost only when it is an over-the-top claim, it's been doing it with that chunk. And I was afraid it was going to do it on every claim, but it only does it as directed to magical over-the-top kind of claims, which is, I think, when someone's able to temper. I think Scott said temper. I thought that was a good way to do it. Or he said soften a claim. That's like kind of a, to me, that's one of the marks of a masterful copywriter. When I see someone is that in tune with a sentence, and is in tune with what the reader is probably objecting to in his mind around every corner. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what. And I was surprised the AI was able to make that distinction, because that's a very advanced. To me, that's a very advanced thing in copywriting, to be able to be so in tune with a sentence that you get to the point where you know what the reaction of the audience is, and usually it's some kind of objection that you're trying to overcome, and almost helps that. So
well. You know, this gets back to what I said in the beginning. It will do what you give it instructions to do. Figuring out how to give them those instructions and then actually giving them and making it work, that's the trick. But I want to go back to the after. Every shot feels almost effortless. I mean, that in itself is quite a great sentence, because a shot isn't something you feel. It's something you do, maybe something you see or hear. Hear the head of the club cracking on the ball, and takes it internal to the person playing golf, and then feels almost effortless. I mean, so there's a lot in the example to begin with. And yeah, I just want to point out the level of subtlety and nuance is very important. And, you know, that gets to something else I wanted to talk about today, which is in order to make this work, how much do you, as the bot operator, the AI user, the AI-assisted copywriter, how much do you need to bring to the table before you even write your first instruction, your first prompt?
Oh, man. I was thinking about that question that you sent me. And it's kind of, it's so varies case to case. Like, I feel like, I almost feel like every type of bot needs a slightly different approach to it, even though they are all stacked. You know, right now I stack and I chunk them together. It's still, sometimes there is more filling out, like Nathan was saying, you know, a lot of people talk about filling out frameworks and whatnot, but sometimes that is the answer. So I can't give one answer, but I'll just give you an example. They'll help you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yesterday, one of my friends, Alan Sultanik, released this huge document to everyone for free on Facebook that had dozens and dozens of pages of copy that had to fill in the blank to it. So obviously when I saw that, I said, okay, in 5 minutes, I'm going to turn that into a copy bot. And I did. But like, that was obviously some, that was done with, you know, fill in the blank. So in that case, it was fill in the blank. But sometimes my thinking is, I think in steps, because if I'm writing, if I'm trying to create a general email writer or a story bot writer, the first thing we got to crack is that it has to be conversational. Like, that's the first thing we got to do, because that's the hardest part of AI, is making it conversational. So yeah, aside
and you
from
said yourself that things, you said yourself that as fast as you are as a copywriter, that's something that takes you a long time to write conversationally, right?
I can write very conversationally and simply, easily, but what I have trouble coming up with and is just things that like unique, very unique metaphorical type writing. Here's one, like in the example that we just said, and I don't know if this is that unique, but you're talking about a golf club, but it says the grip, it's like holding onto a cloud. And then after is the grip, it's almost like it, I'm sorry, let's say before the grip, it's like holding onto a cloud. And then when it was tempered, it said the grip, it's almost like holding onto a cloud. To me, it would take a long time to come up with that visual of holding onto a cloud. You see what I'm saying? That's what's difficult for me as a copywriter.
Yes, now I get it. And I think that's true for everyone. I mean, coming up with a great metaphor is one of the things that, you know, the branding wizards do that, you know, very few people can do quickly or easily. So, wow. Yeah. So what you're getting AI to do is kind of next level. Cool. All right. So we can fit all this in while we got time. Let's go to prompt chunk number three.
Okay. And this is just to limit adverbs. So that's the rule. It says use fewer adverbs to maintain clarity. The before example is the very tall and extremely handsome man walked quickly, which is just loaded with adverbs. The after is the tall man walked fast. I feel like that's a lazy sentence in itself, but at least it removed all the adverbs. But the thing about adverbs is that they're rarely actually needed. If you had a more visual, strong verb, then you don't need them. Or just a stronger visual in general.
And I mean, one of my three complaints about AI, now that you mention this, is adverbs. Another one is adjectives. And another one is, you know, conceptual, abstract, generalized nouns. So your examples are both by what you tell them, but also, and maybe this is an important thing for people to understand, you got to show it. You got to show it what you mean. And it also helps if you correct it when it does it and say, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way.
Yeah.
It seems to learn. I mean, it is called machine learning, right? Mm-hmm. So especially a particular bot that's working with you that you keep using over and over. I mean, it seems like no one knows exactly how it works anyway.
I know that it's not always consistent, but I have a test that I came up with is if I test something like a bot 10 times in a row, if it scores an 8 out of 10, then it's about as good as it's going to get in terms of being consistent. So if you told it to have certain types of nouns and certain types of verbs and to remove adverbs, it's going to do that. If it's good, it's going to do that 8 out of 10 times, you know, and it's going to slip up a little bit. And then also if you have too many rules, that can break something down entirely and make it more randomized. So there's like a healthy balance. You can't just, you have a certain amount of token space, first of all, like, you can't, on GPT-4o, for example, you only have a certain amount of tokens you can actually give it. And in a lot of cases, you don't want to max that out because it will become more randomized. But then there's GPT-128k, which gives you several more tokens to use, that's built for just bigger tasks. And that's actually what I took yesterday when I took that giant document and just put it in. I put it in 128k.
Oh, that's interesting. I need to write that down.
Yeah, because the processing, I don't know if it's called processing power, but it gives you more tokens. So if you've noticed, if you're building a bot on 4.0 or on Anthropic bots, like you'll, or, you know, base bots, you'll get a certain amount of token space. 128K will give you a lot more because it's just built for larger tasks. But anyway, I'm not trying to run off the rails here. Feels like I am a little bit.
This is gold. Where do you think we're going to get this information elsewhere? Yeah, this is from the Mad Scientist Lab, dude. This is awesome. Okay, that's really cool. That's really cool. All right, let's go to chunk number four, prompt chunk four.
Okay, it's a use active voice. A lot of problems can be solved by just getting something to use to write an active voice. So this is prefer active voice over passive voice. And the example is before the project was completed by the team. After is the team completed the project. So one's in passive voice, one's in active voice. And there's a place for the word was sometimes when you're being conversational. And I feel like it's kind of a relaxing word sometimes. Like like we were talking about Stephen King before this briefly, before this call. Yeah. And he likes to use the word was. And I feel like that adds to being able to think into his hypnotic story mode sometimes. When I used to read him a lot, I read like half of his books. But I think there's a place for some passive voice. Don't get me wrong. But active voice is typically just, it's punchier. And it doesn't use unnecessary words. And it's typically more specific because was is a verb that doesn't give you a visual at all, for example. And by just writing in active voice, you're more likely to use a visual verb. But we're talking about a couple of different things here. Like if you used the chunk that is telling the, you know, telling the AI to write in passive or in active voice, and then also telling it to use the one that's using visual verbs, then you're telling it to give you like better verbs. I mean, in general, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, that's how we're solving a lot of problems at this granular level that people don't understand about AI. Like they just, because you're not communicating what you want in your mind, you think you're being clear, but you're not. Until you're just zeroing it down into these rules and examples. That's the only way that I found it can understand.
Yeah. No, that's great. And having prompt chunks that work together synergistically to create
an
even better decision-making, selecting process in the AI is what you're talking about. All right. And
because
I love prompt. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, because it can be a little bit random sometimes. So it's good to have something telling it to do a verb like this and something telling it to do a verb like that. And then you have them switching off a little bit. But anyway.
Very cool. This is my favorite one. Because I hate reading large chunks of copy with no white space. You want to get into prompt chunk number 5?
Yeah, it used to be hard to get just normal GPT or Anthropic or anything to really give you one sentence paragraphs. But right now it's, and I used to have to wrestle with that. I would tell the bot like 5 or 6 times to do it. You know, finally I would break it down to the point where it would do it. It would be like breaking like a wild horse. But now with this chunk, I'm able to break it almost every time. Like the only way it won't work is if it's not toward the beginning or the end of the prompt, if it's buried somewhere and it becomes like part of a slew of chunks where a convoluted prompt, I guess is what I'm saying, because a convoluted prompt will just be more randomized. But and that's just a story from another day, but let me just kind of go into this. The prompt is, or the chunk is, use one sentence paragraph. So the rule is write each paragraph as a single standalone sentence, the line break in between each sentence. And you get a before and after, which is the before is, it's just giving a paragraph that's all together in 4 sentences. And the after is sentence, 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 all in one sentence paragraphs. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And the individual sentences are pretty good by themselves. I mean, I think there's an elegance factor in what you're doing too. You have to choose a small number of prompts that are going to do sort of an 80-20 rule, like this 20% of all possible prompts is going to do 80% of the work. Obviously it's not statistically just like that, but that's the concept, because I noticed that your prompt sequences or your whole packages for a bot, prompt packages for a bot they're not terse, but they're lean. They're sleek.
Sometimes, yeah. And usually they are.
Usually. Okay, I haven't seen all of them. I don't know.
I want to emphasize on this one, too. Going through inside of the course or inside of the community, you have this giant list of different prompts. And playing around with them, I've kind of come to the conclusion that some of them work for certain types of copy, and some of them work for other types of copy. This particular one, breaking down paragraphs into single sentence paragraphs, works great for emails, works great for Facebook and LinkedIn posts, because on the small screen, especially if you're viewing on mobile, single paragraph can be a wall of text. But if it's in a sales letter or on a sales page, I would use a prompt that would allow for multi-sentence paragraphs, but I'd ask it to vary. So sometimes have a paragraph that's four sentences, have a paragraph following that that's only one sentence.
Sure.
I wanted to get your thoughts on, because I know that you have this huge list of prompts, being selective on which types of prompts you're using for which type of copy you're trying to generate.
It's I mean, my thinking is exactly yours, really, because I think in terms of, I mean, obviously most things are going to be viewed on mobile. Like most of anything is going to be viewed on mobile. And usually you can absorb it better when it's one sentence paragraphs on mobile. But, and I prefer one sentence paragraphs on sales pages usually, and in VSLs and in emails and on Facebook. And so I prefer that normally because I know they're on mobile. But if they are reading a book, for example, you know, you don't want one sentence paragraph books because people aren't really reading those on mobile typically. And they don't need to be able to absorb it as well. So that's, I mean, I guess our thinking, Nathan, is pretty much in line right there. I mean, with sales pages, I do tend to do, I mean, I do them sometimes where they're, I do them when they're multiple sentence paragraphs, but typically I will kind of think about the reader being on mobile. I mean, with every format.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the doctor letter that you showed me was all one sentence. They were short sentences and it worked. Man, it worked. That was good copy. I could tell.
Well, there's this guy, a lot of people don't know who he is, but his name was, or he's not dead or anything. His name's Mike Williams. He was a great copywriter back in the Wild West ClickBank days. And he was doing this stuff in like 2011 and no one else was, but he was one of my first teachers back, like way back then before I started studying under you, but he wrote like a lot of really crazy stuff on ClickBank. But that was something he kind of beat into my head that it was just more readable like that. And he used to get a lot of criticism for that, but I think a lot of people do it now. Like those back then, you just didn't get back then. It was like real highly unusual to see a one sentence paragraph, you know, just or in terms of like a via or a sales page or any format. Like people would think you're a little bit off if you wrote something like that. But he did way back then. So
yeah, what I'll often do, and I mean, I'm saying this like I'm an authority, you're the expert. I'm just learning. But one thing I've tried this work is, I'll tell the bot in, not in the bot, but in the instructions for a particular output, I'll say make at least 90% of the paragraphs one sentence, and, you know, make the sentences no more than 15 words. And so there, I mean, most of my social media posts are like one sentence paragraphs.
I like that command, and I've been doing something similar, trying to tell things to go from three syllables down to two, for example, like being very specific with the amount of syllables in a word, because there's usually no sense in having like a three or four syllable word. Usually that's how you get this convoluted, those abstract nouns that don't really carry a visual with it, you know, are usually, I can't even think of one that comes to mind because I program it out of my writing, so I don't remember seeing it.
I always say my favorite multisyllabic word is multisyllabic.
That's good. But binomial nomenclature.
That sounds like that, guys. Six syllables. Yeah, pretty good
name. Okay, so man, you've just delivered. First of all, we've kind of avoided AI on the show, because we didn't have anybody that really could break it down as well as you have in these last two episodes that you've been on. So I just want to say thank you for coming on, because it was definitely something that we needed to get an expert on for. And I'm just going to sing the praises of the course that you've put together, because it is hands down one of the best investments that I've made in years in my copywriting. So I'm so stoked to be in there. I want to give you a little bit of time to plug how people can get a hold of you, how people can get into the AI copywriting course. And then I'm not exactly sure, but you did say that we were going to give these particular chunks templated out away for free for people. So that's a lot to throw at you at once, but if you can, one by one, knock those down.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys, so I have a company that, I'm the co-owner of a company called Parker & Kirkland, and we talked about this a little bit on the last call. But if you go through the normal channels, you'll probably will not even reach me. So just if you're interested in joining the class, it's just Jason. Just contact me at jason@parkerkirkland.com. So jason@parkerkirkland.com. Because the AI stuff, like the class, is not really a main part of my business. you know, we're really an agency, and I'm always doing agency work. That's how I got into AI, and that's how I was forced to really embrace AI. Like, I'm going to use an AI word to say that too, embrace. But the class is really just 30 people or less, and you guys are in it. It's more of a mastermind now. Like David said the other day, this is a masterclass mastermind. I was like, yeah, because I mean, David's in it, like Nathan's in it, Pauline Longdon's in it, Scott Zetlin's in it. Like, there's big names in that class. And I'm not the one all coming up with all the solutions now, because there's so many brilliant minds in there. Or any, even though it's just a small class, like it's more of a mastermind now. And I think that Scott, for example, will start surpassing me in AI soon. Like, he's been in it since the beginning, and he tends to have the answer often, you know, more than I do now. So it's more of a mastermind now. And if you join, you know, in a few months from now, you might be surpassing me too. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I guess that's my plug for it, but it's a small part of my company, and there's not even a page where you can join it. I'll give you an order link if you want it. So just give me an email at jason@parkerkirkland.com. It's not something that like we go around and advertise. I have this guy, Brian Halpin, who's ex-Agora, who works with us full time, and he's always working on campaigns. But we created this AI class together because we were doing so much of it. And we said, you know, let's just do a class. And a lot of people started begging us to do it. Like Alan Sultanik at NHB, he's always wanting help with AI and whatnot. Or not always wanting help, but let me not say that. But he has a lot of programmers, but they couldn't, or developers, they couldn't figure out what I could do in like 10 seconds. So like I was able to just take his frameworks and turn it into a bot that just fills it out in 2 seconds, you know, or not 2 seconds, but like 30 seconds. And you got a whole like 10 page sales page, you know, with his frameworks and whatnot. So there have been a lot of people requesting that we do it. And that's why it came out too. I mean, that's why we ended up just rolling it out. Like Brian, he's on Facebook talking about it all the time, which is totally cool. I mean, he loves getting people in. It's all just organic and word of mouth for the most part at this point.
Yeah, and I can answer Nathan's second question. There's a Google Docs page that's, you know, anyone with the link can look at it. We're putting the link in the show notes, both on copywriterspodcast.com and on the YouTube description. So it's there. It is about 40 characters long, so I'm not even going to try and read it, but there it is.
All right. So if you want the templated version of all of the prompts that we went through today, make sure that you check it out over at copywriterspodcast.com. We'll have it in the show notes for this particular episode. And while you're there, we've got at least one previous episode with Jason on talking about AI, copywriting, and 365 other episodes to fine-tune your own copywriting skills. And then maybe you can take some of those insights and plug them in to your own AI copy as well. So a wealth of information over there. A wealth of information on this episode in particular too. So just again, Jason, thank you so much, man, for coming on and sharing all of this with our listeners.
Yeah, you bet.
All right.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love talking about this stuff.
And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.